Very warm good morning to everybody. Praise God. It's good to be able to share the word with you. Looking at the Psalms as we move through the E100 series. This week we will look at one particular Psalm, Psalm 103. And it's part of the readings that will be coming up for this week. I was amazed by this. I've been thinking, meditating on it all week long. And it's really cool. There's some beautiful observations in it and some beautiful word pictures. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would, by your grace, that you would kindly open our hearts and minds to the beauty of who you are, Lord. You must reveal this to us. Open our hearts and minds to rejoice in that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the one thing, there's a lot of different things in this psalm, a lot of different points. The main thing of this psalm is to bless the Lord. It's at the beginning and it's at the end. So the main point of this psalm is to bless or praise the Lord. It's basically the same Hebrew word in this sense. So it means, I'll give you a definition of it. It's good to have a definition of what it means to bless the Lord. We would say it like this. That it is to say good things about the Lord. And say good things about the Lord with a heart of admiring, a heart of thanksgiving, and a heart of wonder. So you have wonder, you have thanksgiving, and you have just this admiration of who He is. That's what it means to bless the Lord. To bless Him. David starts off with this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless and forget not all His benefits. Yeah, you know, he begins and ends with that. And he's prodding himself to bless the Lord. He gets all excited at the beginning and he shares how wonderful and great God is in the next number of verses. So it begins from about verse 3 on into verse 19. There's 17 different benefits that he lists. And he lists these benefits that vary and are truly wonderful. And then at the end of it, just so you can get the feel of it, you know, he just kind of overflows at that point. And he just tells everybody up in heaven, you guys praise God too. And all creation, you praise God. All the ministers of the Lord, that's just not me, that's you actually. That's everybody that serves God and follows Him. You guys praise God too. Lift up your voices. And really, again, the number one thing, it's to praise God, to bless God for who He is. For who He is. That's how we can join in David in this psalm. Let me give you some specific examples because this is really a hugely important topic for us. Blessing God. Now, the truth is, it's something that has to be revealed. It's something that God has to reveal to you and to me. I'll give you a case in point. Moses tried to work the deliverance of Israel on his own. And God revealed to him at the burning bush how great and awesome He is. And He revealed that to him. And it struck Moses. And he was moved by that. And it sustained him. And you think about Mary. Mary, she could have never have imagined, could never even have given birth to the Christ except that it was revealed to her and the angel appeared to her and told her that she had been chosen. God takes the initiative. God takes the initiative to reveal Himself to us. And you think even with Adam and Eve when they ran away, they didn't seek to find God. They didn't build a church to worship God. God came and He sought them out. And He sought them out to speak a word of grace, actually to speak a word of forgiveness and promise to them. judgment also for their sin. But you know, you think about Noah, you think about Abraham, is that God sought them out. He came to them. He revealed Himself to them. And God has revealed Himself to you in so many wonderful ways. One example is what we're doing right now. It's how He's revealed Himself as we gather in worship. When you come to the Lord's table, He's revealed Himself to you in the body and in the blood. He's revealed Himself to you in His Word. The richness and the beauty of it, like when you read a psalm like this. In our fellowship together, it never ceases to amaze me. And when we've lived overseas, and these people are totally different, just, you know, so culturally different than me. But yet, in Christ, there is this unity that you say amen together, and there is just a thought that we are of one accord in Christ. Now, that's just a beautiful thing. Have you ever noticed how you can be in the same room with someone? You can share a life with a person and never be really close to them. You might even know a lot about them. And you might even have a lot of knowledge about them. But you know, to bless the Lord is to realize the amazing, wonderful, marvelous things that He has done, for you and for me, and to be absolutely in awe about them. There is something about worship, and I don't mean worship in a service like this. There is something about worship in our lives that is expansive, that is growing, that cannot be contained, that just builds upon itself. And it just, in the revelation of who God is and the understanding of who God is, you can see it in David as he lives his life and as he realizes just more to the fullness of who God is and how He has worked in his life. And he encourages people to join in. And the Spirit, of course, causes him to reflect on things that are relevant to us. The forgiveness of sins and how God has worked that beauty and that wonder in the person of Jesus Christ. And it culminates in Him. And it is God's intention to reveal Himself to the world, even to us and everyone in this way. That we would see and we would truly glory in who He is. And it's meant during the course of our lives to be something that is swelling and it is growing. And it is just inhabited with the fullness, the growing fullness of who God is. And sometimes it is powerful. I have seen it powerful. Sometimes it's powerful like an earthquake or a volcano that goes off. And you see it in your life and you say, oh, I finally understand this. I get this. You ever have that when you're reading the Scriptures and you read something, you go, oh, yeah, I know. That's a beautiful thought there, God. A wonderful thing. And you know, sometimes it's, as we thought last week, you know, it's a still small voice. It's the idea of when God kind of gathers, you know, just like as a hen gathers the little yellow chicks and just pulls them in, and you know that there's peace. You know that you can trust. And God takes the initiative in doing this. And for it is by grace, it's by God's grace alone in Christ that the fullness of this revelation begins to come to us. And we see the past benefits. Surely there's amazing things that God has done in your life. What are they? What has He done? What has He worked? I think of my kids. I think of the many times that God has just come to us. I see it in the lives of my friends and others that I know. It's truly a beautiful thing. We see His present mercies. We see His future promises. But you know, there's always a shortfall. There's always a shortfall. We see this fullness, and we see this in Scripture. And we have to prod our souls, don't we? We have to prod our souls. It's like, soul, wake up! Quit being so grumpy! Quit looking at all the yuck! Wake up, soul! God is that good. He is that wonderful. You see what David's trying to do? He realizes that he says in the Psalms, he says he knows that we are but dust. And he knows that all our being does not kick in like this. And so he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me and he says, prod your soul, He's really this good. Prod your soul in the fullness of Christ. Don't let the heaviness weigh you down. That's not God leading you to do that. You know, stir yourself up. Just our body, our minds, everything that we are. You know, there's a shirt that I had. It's an old t-shirt. It's all worn out right now, but I still love it. Actually, I tried to get it redone. It has a picture of a coffee cup on it. And the coffee cup has a steaming, steam coming out of it. You know, it looks really cool and neat. And it says, wake up and smell the coffee. I love this shirt. I absolutely love it. Because the verse along with it, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we feel because of our sinfulness. We know that He is good. But our own sin and our own weakness and the own reality of who we are as human beings also overwhelms us. So we need to prod our soul. And actually, the very recognition of that is such a huge, incredible sign of grace and God's mercy. The recognition that the fullness of our soul does not kick in all the time is the most powerful recognition of the fullness of God's grace. That He encourages us to do this, knowing that our frame is but dust, and He encourages us to press in, to keep seeking Him. And I agree, I understand that it is so easy at times to be weighted down. Ah, it's so true. So let me just leave you with a couple of points that might encourage you. Because God is who He is, and He is as full and as great as David proclaims. That's why we have the reading from Acts. You can see what they saw of Jesus, and when they saw His ministry, and they saw the amazing love of God, and the season of favor that had fallen upon them, they were amazed, and their eyes are all fixed on Him. Trying to take all this in. Number one, I mentioned in your outline, remind yourself of what God has done. Remind yourself of what God has done. In verses 6 through 7 it says, Lord's works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known His ways to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. You know, the problem is the journal and the thoughts in our minds don't see that justice, don't see that righteousness, don't see that fullness. And we have to prod ourselves, and we have to encourage ourselves, and we have to encourage one another. God calls us to do this. David is lifting up our hearts. He's telling us, look to that. You will be lifted up. You will soar. Look to see who God is. We know who we are. Do you know who God is? In the fullness of that revelation is peace, there is deliverance, there is goodness, there is grace free. To hold fast to a specific truth about the Lord. Specific truth about the Lord. Hold on to those scriptures. We have things we remember of what God has done, but look where David takes us. David doesn't take us to the big point in his life with David and Goliath, no. He takes us to where many other people, many prophets actually in the Old Testament, Joel takes us there, Isaiah takes us there to the same passage, Ezekiel even mentions it. It comes up in the Psalms over and over again. And it's the one place where God made the biggest move of deliverance, and it's where He delivered them from Egypt, and He fulfilled His promises. And He takes us back to that place that I quoted in your outlines. He passed in front of Moses proclaiming the Lord, a compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. There is justice. Wait upon God. He is good. He is right. We need to focus our heart and mind on that. And David is encouraging us to stir up our souls. And as I was saying, all the prophets testify to this as well. You know, so I leave you with this thought. What are you saying to yourself? What are you speaking to yourself in your daily life? It's a good thought for us to think.
Because God has given you a good word to say to yourself. That good word is Jesus Christ. That good word we're going to celebrate when we have Holy Communion later on in the service. That good word speaks something louder and better than the guilt or the frustration or the fear that you might sense. The worry or whatever it may be. Can you see to cast that upon God and look to Him who really loves you and cares for you, and let that inspire you, and to look at others, the people around you, in that love? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. May God inspire us and just speak this peace to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.